Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Yes, indeed, you do. Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Today's No, we got to do the promo.
Oh, go right ahead.
Go to 1201beyond.com. You'll see the Amazon and Amazon UK links. Clear your cookies, clear ad blocker. If you're going to shop at Amazon, if you use those links, it helps us out a little bit. You can look at our recommendations, which you do not have to buy. It costs you nothing. Unfortunately, we can't give you like a bump or anything, but it costs you nothing. And you help out the show a little bit. We get a little cut of whatever you spend. So 1201beyond.com, use the Amazon links.
Also down there, in the corner, there's a couple of things. One, there's the advanced auto thing. So yeah. If you're a gearhead and you're doing some advanced auto or some automotive work and you like advanced auto, go through that. We get a little bit.
If you're going to be buying some, you know.
And if they want to cut out the middleman altogether. And they want to donate to the show, for instance, to get us to this con in November.
Yep, Dance of the Dead or whatever.
Days of the Dead. Days of the Dead. What?
The donate link is still broken.
Okay.
Because a lie, we've recorded multiple of these in one day. So last week when I said it was broken, it still is.
Yeah.
Because this is the same day. You can go to 1201beyond@gmail.com if you want to PayPal a little bit of help over to us. Because until I get that donate link fixed, which by the time this airs may have happened.
But either way, if you live in or around Chicago and you want to meet us, look up Days of the Dead. Or if you're going to be there because you want to go to a horror con anyway.
It's like Elvira's there and shit.
Yeah, there's all kinds of people.
There's a They Live reunion. I'm really looking forward to that because by then the new They Live DVD I just pre-ordered might be out. And it'd be so awesome to get... to get Keith David and Roddy Piper to autograph that They Live.
There
DVD.
You go. And you can check them out and of course meet with us and we'll hang with you.
We're not gonna have like a panel or a table or anything. Unless you guys out there can convince them to bring us in on a panel. That would be awesome. But
yeah.
We're just gonna be walking around and doing shit and
exactly. And you can hang with us.
Not sure, unless you're weird and creepy.
Especially if you have boobs.
Females with boobs. Many men have moobs. I'm not into moobs.
I didn't say moobs.
No moobs.
Anyway.
So, okay.
Today's show.
I'm going to go to sleep for this next one because I really have nothing to add.
I know you have nothing to add. Today's show, just to let you guys know, is going to be kind of a rambling thing. We're clearing up
some...
We
don't really have a topic.
We have some small topics to talk about, and you have some rants that you want to do and stuff like that. I want to start... By the time this airs, the Olympics are going to be over. As of recording right now, we are hot and heavy in the competition. And to me, the Olympic Games have changed a whole lot in the last, because I wasn't in the country for the 1980 Olympics. I was traveling.
Was that the Miracle on Ice?
Yeah. Yes, it was. But in 1984 are the first Olympics that I remember, and those were the ones in Los Angeles. And I remember through the 80s, the Olympics holding a lot more weight than they do now. Now you've got your big players like the women's gymnastics, which will always be popular. And
well, just let me interrupt you real quick.
Sure.
I think when you talk about them not holding as much weight anymore, I can see the entire, the coverage, what it means to people, all of that. I think that has to do with our fractured media society.
That's
when anybody can, you know, get the results on their iPod and on the 900 different channels, they're going to have the results. And that back then, I think NBC's always had them in our lifetime.
Yes.
So, you know, you tuned into NBC or you had to maybe catch the 10 o'clock news to get the results. So I think
exactly
part of the reason it doesn't carry as much weight is due to our fractured society.
But,
I really do.
But not only because of our fractured society, but for some reason, I remember the Olympics being a true event. And I remember my family gathering to watch various bits of the Olympic, the swimming, the ice hockey, stuff like that. And I think another big part of that was it was us versus
the big Ruskies.
The big giant evil empire. As
yeah, I think we kind of lost that enemy.
Yeah, I mean, maybe China's coming up there. I don't know. I really don't. But
it's not like Al Qaeda has entrance into the Olympics.
And he goes up for his vault.
Oh, la, 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 boom!
Oh God! Wow, we're gonna get mail on that one.
I don't give a shit. Okay, go.
But I remember in 1984, 88, and even somewhat in 1992. The Olympics were huge. You gathered to watch the opening ceremony, which Great Britain, what the fuck this year?
I didn't watch, so I don't have any
clue. No, it was. I understood a lot of it, but I spent a lot of time explaining what the hell was going on to Dawn, because it was inventive. It was a big undertaking. And it was very, very, very British. I mean, I think there are two segments of the opening ceremony that you probably should see. They're pretty impressive. One with James Bond and the Queen. And
you mean Daniel Craig?
Yeah, Daniel. But he's
I didn't know if he was James Bond, the character.
He's playing James Bond.
Okay.
It's Daniel Craig, but he's playing James Bond and he goes to Buckingham Palace and picks up the Queen, and they fly a helicopter to the stadium, and then they both parachute in, and then they cut back to live, and in comes the Queen with Daniel Craig.
Editing, what it can't do, huh?
I know. And then there was another segment. You're familiar with the character Mr. Bean?
Unfortunately.
Okay. Well, he joined an orchestra as they played Chariots of Fire.
Oh, God.
And those two segments, I think, would carry around the world. That was about it.
Didn't you say that they had like a memorial to the train bombing?
Yes, and this is one thing that makes me very, very angry at American media. Because if you remember the day after London was announced as having the 2012 games on 7/7.
07.
Was it 07?
I don't remember.
Anyway, okay, 7/7. The day after. There was a terrorist attack on the London Tube, and in the BBC production, and I've downloaded and compared the two. In the BBC production, they do a memorial wall to individuals that went through that event and those that were lost in that terrorist attack. The NBC media thought that was too depressing, too distant,
too British,
and too boring for American audiences.
And probably they thought too British-centric, too.
So, exactly. So during that entire segment, and there's a dance segment in the memorial wall and stuff, NBC cut away.
To what?
I don't remember. Yeah, way to be, way to fix it, NBC. But NBC cut away to a more American-centric kind of retrospect of the games and stuff like that, and what brought it to London from Athens, and meh, and I was ashamed, because those people deserved what they got on the opening ceremonies. It was something that obviously affected London, obviously affected the UK, and affected Europe as a whole, more so than it affected here in the US, but nonetheless, it happened, and you can't simply go, no.
We're going to pretend
sweep,
that
sweep,
happen.
Sweep, sweep, sweep. Yeah, you know, and that made me angry.
Like me kind of angry, or?
Almost, to where when I downloaded the BBC one because I missed it, because NBC, for some reason, they're not...
The time delay is fucking with
them. Well, it's not really just the time delay. It's not that deal. It's NBC is trying to show what it thinks Americans want to see, and they are screwing up the schedule like you wouldn't believe. And
elaborate.
You go to multiple sources of when things are on and when things are happening.
Live, you mean?
Live. And NBC will be carrying something else. Like, their big one recently has been beach volleyball. Don't mind watching beach volleyball. But they're carrying it on one of their two extra channels with no commentary and just raw sound and the event. And that's it. And I'm sorry, but sport needs commentators.
Sports are kind of boring when you just watch them.
Exactly, on TV. Now, if I was there and I was watching it happen, it's like a baseball game. I can't watch baseball on TV, but I can go to a baseball game and
get, at the stadium,
you know, at the stadium, get my beer, get my dog, and
it feels different.
It feels very different. It's an event, but watching on TV, you're like, oh God, when is this going to end? And that's kind of how NBC has been covering the Olympics lately. Which is why I thank God for the internet and the fact that people DVR BBC stuff.
Torrents exist.
Exactly. So the event of the Olympics is kind of gone.
Yeah. This is after you got quit from our former employer while I was still working at our former employer. We had the last set of Olympics.
The Beijing Olympics.
Yeah. And I just knew it was some Asian country.
Big one called China.
Piggy. And I remember one of the master control ops coming out. And what was the American gymnast that won all the awards? Sean? It was a girl, but she was named like Sean something.
I want to say Carrie Strug, but that wasn't it. I think that was the Olympics.
But okay, it doesn't matter. But anyway. Whichever one, the one that ended up getting stalked.
Right.
She got all the stalking and all that. And he was watching this, and for whatever reason, and he wasn't wrong. The master control op wasn't wrong with his assertion of this. They kept having all these weird angles that would show the crotches and the flat chests of these young girls. And he goes, this is pedophile vision.
Yeah.
He's like, this is fucking, we're showing pedophile vision right now. Mm-hmm. What is with the cameramen over there?
And if you want to have some real fun looking at gymnasts, go back and take a look at Nadia Comăneci, her routine, and go back and look at the gymnasts in the 80s and even earlier than that, 70s, 60s, Mary Lou Retton, and they're women. They are women competing.
Now they're girls.
And now they are teeny tiny little girls that are, it's a little creepy. Frankly, yeah, I mean, I enjoy.
It's gone all pedo on us.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I enjoy gymnastics. It's a weird thing of mine. I can't do it, but I like watching other people do what I can't do, and do what they do well.
Is that why you're watching space battles? Because you can't space battle?
I can't space battle, but I love watching space battles.
just figured I'd go to a ridiculous extreme.
That's the weird thing about the Olympics. That's the really weird thing about the Olympics. To tell you the truth, if it weren't the Olympics, sport, meh, I don't care. But for some reason, watching the Olympics, watching these people do what they do exceptionally well is really quite moving.
Well, and then I will say I did read something online about the Olympics this year that did, I mean, it made me go, wow, this is something that's going to positively follow this lady around the rest of her life. But if just one tiny little thing had gone different, it would have probably been huge news. And that was the shooting competition.
Okay.
99 out of 100. Oh. She missed one. And that's the record right now, 99 out of 100. She would have broken the world record if she would have got all 100. She still placed well above everybody else, but you just kind of, so close.
See, again,
she missed one out of 100. That's an amazing fucking streak there, man. Exactly.
And normally would watching...
It's not exactly exciting, but...
I shoot guns, and so I would probably enjoy going to a range and watching this. But yeah, to see... Like I said, to see people do what they do exceptionally well is really exciting. And am I normally a U.S. nationalist? No.
Yeah.
No. Am I normally a huge patriot?
No.
No. And I always think to myself, you know, if the person that wins happens to come from my country, that'd be kind of cool. And But for some reason...
But back in the 80s, it was as long as it wasn't a Ruski.
Exactly. But now, yeah, somewhere deeply inside of me, it's like, I want the person from my country to win just because I have something to do with that.
That's the that's the post-9/11 in you.
And no, it isn't. It really isn't, because it always ends up being that
way. Do you remember back in the 90s what event got bombed? When that bomb
that was
went off
that was in the
or one of the like the
in the main square in
93 or 94 I want to say 92. Going by memory on
it
here
would, it would be 92 or 96 I think it was 92 because we were still in high school.
I thought that was right after high school, but maybe
it would have been either 92 or 96 and I think it was 92.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're right. There every 4 years. Duh.
Yeah.
That was a derp on my part. But I don't care about the Olympics, so can we talk about something else?
Yeah, and I'm just saying, you know, real quick, to those of you in London and to those of you in the UK, really, you're doing a great job, and the stadium is beautiful, and yeah, the opening ceremony was a little but good on you.
Okay. All right, I want to talk a little bit about bad video game design. We've talked about it before, but I just encountered it. I played the 2009 game Wet. And I didn't play the game Wet. I played the game Wet.
See, it flooded in the house that day.
Yeah. Well,
no. Now, you mentioned the game Wet, and I initially thought you were talking about like some sort of powerboat racing type game, and I was really confused, but you've shown me the trailer, and
the wet in that refers to having blood on you.
Okay,
because that's a term called wet work.
Okay,
when you deal with, like, you know, up close and personal kills, it's called doing wet work.
Okay,
so that's what the title is from, and it's basically like playing a grindhouse movie.
Neat.
I mean, literally, it's got the scratches all over, the weird sound. You can hear the projector in the background.
Fun.
It's got like the over-the-top narration, and it's got stuff like that.
That sounds incredibly good and fun and happy.
It does. And it's got some really interesting, you know, like Deadeye and lots of acrobatics and sliding and jumping off walls. And it's got some really interesting gameplay mechanics. And then it's got the over-reliance on QuickTime events. There has to have been at least 50 different QuickTime events in this goddamn game.
Oh.
And I hate those to begin with.
Right.
It's a hallmark of weak game design.
QuickTime events and escort missions, hate them both.
Well, and then I get to the boss before the boss, you know, the boss's bodyguard. Yes, a fight. Oh, it's 2 QuickTime events, okay? Then there's the boss. 3 QuickTime events. Are you fucking kidding me? I played all the way through this fucking game and the 2 boss fights are QuickTime events? Fuck you, game. Fuck you to death. That's not my only complaint either. He's rolling his eyes.
Okay, go on.
One of my other complaints, you get lost really easy. You have no idea where to go. You'll clear all the bad guys out of a room, and you'll stand there looking around going, it didn't go to a cutscene, so I clearly have to do something. I don't know what. And this isn't like a Resident Evil game where the thing you have to do is blinking or anything like that.
Right.
It's just sort of... do I take my sword and slash this, or do I shoot this?
So you spend a lot of time...
You spend a lot of time just figuring out what to do next. That, to me, says this game was rushed out. That this game was not complete when they shipped it. And I have a feeling the game went through a lot of designs, because right before the show, I showed you the trailer.
Right.
And the 2000... Remember 2009. And I showed you the 2007 E3 trailer. Which is basically of a completely different game,
right,
that just has the same character models. So I have a feeling this game was scrapped at one point and rebuilt from scratch.
Well, Wet in 2007, when it was announced at E3, was being done by Sierra Online Studios. One of my favorite studios, because I love adventure games, and Sierra knew how to do them right, King's Quest. And... then Sierra closed its doors, and I forget which studio took over, but some other studio took over, and they had problems finding distribution for it, and blah, 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 and that's why it was delayed until 2009 and kind of revamped. So,
and that's why I'm saying, I think the game, the revamped game, was not done. I think it was not a complete game when they shipped it out, because there are some massively broken controls in this.
Okay.
The over-reliance on QuickTime events means we didn't have time to program in real boss fights. Okay. So we're just going to QuickTime event out of it, because on a programming side, that's easy and fast to do.
You know what? This reminds me of where the two topics we've discussed so far meet.
How so?
Did your there was always one arcade game that you could hear people playing in the arcade, and I always knew.
Do you mean the game itself, or the people were all loud?
Well, the yes.
Okay.
For some reason, do you remember Track and Field, the cabinet game?
Vaguely. I mean, it's one of those. I probably saw it in the arcade. Since I'm not a sports fan, I've ever played a sports game in an arcade.
The thing was that this one had a two-button control scheme.
Okay.
And in order to run, you had to alternate left, right, left, right, left, right.
Oh, for each leg. Okay, and I can see that. It makes sense.
And then it had a third button for jump or throw if it was the javelin or hammer or whatever.
Action button.
Action, yeah. But I just remember Track and Field, this game. Even if you didn't hear the actual audio from the game, you knew somebody was playing and playing well, because you just heard, and it's just one of those games that holds a fond memory in my brain. And there's an iOS game called Stickman Olympics that uses a similar control scheme where but unfortunately it's on screen buttons.
Oh.
And I gotta tell you this, designers, on screen buttons are really hard to tap. There's something about having those big round plastic fuckers
that you can when you depress them, you can feel them go down. You can feel the plunger hit the chip and the motherboard.
Exactly. And there's something to pounding on those buttons that made that game really enjoyable. And I thought, okay, I'll put this on my iPod. I'll throw it on my iPad. I'll give it a shot.
Did you break your iPad?
Well, I did, but that was completely unrelated. I opened my friend's car door, and I had all my stuff in my lap coming home from work one day, and it slid out and hit the driveway. So,
is it dead?
No, my iPad is fine. My iPod has a big old crack in it.
And I already bought your old iPod old from you with a big crack in it.
That had a big old crack in it. So
what is it with you? You just can't keep a screen.
If I replace this iPod, which I will eventually, I'll have to get. I think Nerf makes some armor for them or something. So,
but okay, the thing with WET is, and you know how much I hate remakes, even when it comes to games. Since I think this game was not done, and I think they were too ambitious with the grindhouse style and the gameplay and whatnot for what, and I know how weird this sounds only going back 3 years, but for what 2009 technology was able to do for them.
Okay.
I think this game should be remade and made a little bit longer. It was a little short, but this game should be remade with today's technology, and I think it would be a much bigger hit.
And more QuickTime events?
Less QuickTime events.
Less QuickTime events.
Oh, there's also another really interesting gameplay angle that they added. Since there's film scratches all over it, which I don't even know why they do this, you actually have an option at the menu screen to turn off the film scratches. When you're playing a game like this, why? What's the point of that? That's just dumb, don't you agree?
Because it's digital, and everything today made digital should be clean and clear at all times.
Asshole. But
I'm speaking for the younger generation. That's just the way it is.
The lower your life bar gets, the scratchier the film gets, and the film starts to, it looks like the bulb behind it is getting brighter, so it gets more and more washed out and scratchier the lower your life bar gets. I thought that was a nice little touch.
When you die, does the film break?
No, it melts.
Oh.
The bulb actually melts the film when you die, and I thought, see what I mean? There are good ideas in this. They had the ideas. They either didn't take the time to implement them right, or the technology just did not allow them to. This is a game that could be a great game. That's why I remake it, people.
That actually really surprises me, was that there was no video game tie-in to Grindhouse, the movie.
Well, no, it was a movie. The movie's in it.
Yeah.
But Grindhouse was a movie.
I'm actually really surprised that there isn't a Planet Terror slash Death Proof.
Slash Machete slash Don't slash Werewolf Women of the SS.
Well, no. I mean, I'm leaving the previews fake.
The other thing with Wet. During the loading screens between levels, that they show old like drive-in things like Dr. Sin coming to this theater, and you know, like the singing pickle about how he wants to be eaten and stuff.
How
and
fun.
It's like like I said, this is a game that should have been fun if it wasn't for the broken controls.
Okay.
If it was not a broken game.
So this is one of the rare games that you'd like to see.
I'd love to see this remade in 2012 or 2013. Guys, just do it right. Or if you make a sequel to it, keep the style, just make it right.
Oh, now wait a minute. BioWare should do it and make it an epic role-playing game.
Do you want me to walk off again? You know how pissed I am at that franchise is dead to me. Dead.
It's a shame, really.
You know, dead to me. But you're seeing this more and more with these broken game controls on so many different games. With the long lead times of games, I can't believe they don't play test some of these things before they go out, or play test them to the point where they work. Because I mean, some franchises learn from their mistakes. If you're a modern Resident Evil gamer, just go back and try and play the first four or five games. The first, you know, zero or one through Code Veronica.
Yeah.
They're all fun games.
Yes, but
they take a totally different way to get used to, and the control schemes, and they're basically different games.
Fire up Alone in the Dark for the PC. Because...
What, and have a giant pixel kill you?
Well, no.
Those things were polygoned to shit.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, that's what you could do at the time, but... The weird thing was you'd be moving and your camera would change, and it's a static camera game. And since your camera would change, your perspective would change, so as you're moving, you would suddenly veer off into a separate direction because left for this
all of
new
a sudden
camera
becomes
angle
down.
Becomes down, yeah. And
I've seen plenty of console games. The Resident Evil games always had that fixed camera thing too. And it's weird. Nowadays, we're so used to being able to use the right analog stick to swing the camera around. I keep doing that, and then you end up shooting or something. And you just kind of... You get so used to being able to swing your camera around in a 360. Yeah, well, it's technically a 720, because you can go up and down and all around, and 360 is just in one specific...
No, it's still 360 degrees. It's just in a different axis.
Well, if the axis changed, then the degrees change.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
Go on.
Dude, don't fuck with me. I know my shit with this.
But I'm just saying, modern gamers need to go back and try fixed camera games and just see how that's the definition of frustrating.
It certainly can. Oh, yeah, it certainly can be. Good one.
I was working that through, and I thought you were going to talk.
I was just trying to get my thoughts together, and it was a moment of silence, and you decided to fill it with a burp, and that'll work.
We warned you guys.
So
a rambling episode.
The other day, I went to the gas station.
First time.
And well, yes, I've never been before. It was fascinating that we're in.
Right.
You know.
All right.
But I went to the gas station, filled up the car, went in, wanted to get something to drink.
Okay.
Decided on tea. There's a few reasons I decided on tea. One, I wasn't in the mood for soda, because I don't drink that much soda anymore.
Okay.
And two, the tea was cheaper than the bottled water.
Soda is now cheaper than bottled water. I don't understand how bottling water, which is basically, you know, tap water.
It's filtered tap water. Yeah.
How that is now more expensive than, let's see, the Dr. Pepper I've got is a 1 liter.
Right.
That costs 20 cents less than a 20-ounce water. And this has got carbonated water, high fructose corn syrup, caramel color, phosphoric acid, natural and artificial flavor, sodium benzoate, and caffeine in it.
And here's the neat thing.
And yet that's somehow cheaper to make than water.
Who bottles Dr. Pepper?
I think Dr. Pepper.
Are they independent?
They used to be owned by 7-Up, but I think
they may be independent now. Anyway, the interesting thing about this Dr. Pepper is that that carbonated water in there?
Yeah, bottled by authority of Dr. Pepper Company.
There we go. Prior to being carbonated, that water in there goes through the same filtration system as Dasani. Either Coke or Pepsi makes Dasani, and Coke makes
Pepsi,
one.
Pepsi.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so basically you're paying more to not get as much stuff. I don't understand
it's
bottled water
weird,
people.
Weird, but, and don't get me wrong, I have nothing wrong with bottled water. The stuff that I particularly enjoy are the store brands. Because
no,
again,
but,
same
no, see,
filtration
Scott,
system.
I've met people that I won't drink tap water, only drink bottled water. I know these people. You and I used to work with some of them.
Well, stuff them. That's why I have a Brita filter.
So yeah, that just kind of bothers me. I don't understand.
I don't know. I guess, what is it, Evian? They're like, oh, backwards Evian is naive. You know?
Mountain Spring.
If there is a market for it, people will pay for it. And I do enjoy bottled water every now and then. Like if I'm out working and you get really thirsty doing what I do and stuff like that. And I will just go and I will find the little store brand that's usually cheaper than soda. And I can't tell the difference between that and Dasani. I can't tell the difference between Evian and, a non-bubbly Perrier.
Yeah, what it comes down to is, how did we get to this snobbery point that bottled water is now more expensive?
And here's what's really funny. A lot of that bottled water that you buy is filtered St. Louis tap water. And the reason they use St. Louis is because St. Louis does have some of the best, with the exception of Maine, like the whole freaking state of Maine, which is saturated with naturally filtered water. Seriously, there are parts of Maine you can just walk out into the woods, stick your hand down into the ground, water will rush into your hand, and it's the most cold, beautifully, naturally filtered stuff you've ever tasted in your entire life. And
Hems Blue Water.
Right. Aside from Maine, St. Louis has some of the best tap water in the country.
Okay.
So they all go to St. Louis and just run that tap water through filters and boom.
And you idiots out there pay for it. I don't get that.
I don't either. But hey, if it's your thing, write us and let us know why.
Well, all right. Another little thing. Scott, you and I've had a discussion because I had that big rant online, and we did I did a Radio Drum episode on the word, what the word cult means, right?
Right.
We need to go over this again.
Star Wars, cult movie. Star Trek, cult movie.
Entertainment Weekly. Oh, how much I just shuddered actually saying that. They just did their top cult TV shows of all time. Of course, Buffy got number one, which is just stupid right in and of there. But it was full of non-cult TV shows like Archer, the FX show. Yeah, because that's a total cult show, right? But what was more conspicuous was what wasn't on the list.
Okay.
No Outer Limits, no Highlander, no Kolchak the Night Stalker, which is probably the definition of a cult TV series. But the most offensive thing was that the person who made this list or compiled it is clearly a child.
Okay.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, placed higher than Star Trek as a cult series. Okay, first, It's Always Sunny is not even a cult series. But that's more of a cult series than Star fucking Trek.
Okay. Please don't shout into the microphone.
I'm sorry, I'm mad.
I know you're passionate about this.
All right, so I'm instituting a new rule for the internet. I want all listeners to help back me up. Whenever you see this on a forum or on a list or anything, this is a new internet rule. If you don't know what a word means, you don't get to use it. You don't get to apply the term cult until you learn what cult is. When you first get your degree in nuclear physics, they don't let you handle fissionable material right away, do they? No, you have to learn how to do that. You have to learn how to gauge what is cult.
I have a question. Because back in the 80s, all the way through most of the 90s. I would definitely call it a cult movie.
Which is?
But now I don't know.
Which is?
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Always a cult film. It still never has achieved mainstream success. And it that's almost the definition of a cult following to that movie. But so that's one of my things. If you don't know how to use the term, you don't get to use it anymore. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, internet. Okay, magazine writers. If you don't know how to use it, you don't get to. I am revoking your cult privileges until you learn what the word means.
You know what one of my favorite cult movies is?
Am I going to hit you?
Probably. Jaws. Okay, silence is not good on the radio, Josh. You could even burp and do something. Okay, They Live. How's that?
That's a cult movie, okay. Yes.
Chud.
Yes. Okay, I'm not gonna get into this again. Anyone who reads my Facebook knows how I flipped the fuck out over Mike Matai's idiotic... Okay, never mind. All right, drop it. Move on to the next topic.
Yeah, I watched that review that you mentioned. That
was offensively bad. And people started going, oh, just because you liked the movie and he didn't like it. That's not the reason I was so mad at the review. I was mad because if that's what internet reviewing has come down to, then it's a dead genre.
To be honest, I'm not a big fan of Chud.
It doesn't matter if you are.
Hang on. Let me finish before you go insane.
Okay.
Take a breath. I'm not a fan of Chud or Chud 2 or Son of Chud or Return of Chud or Chud of the Night.
Chud of the Night, that's a good title.
It's kind of like a Lady of the Night. But anyway, I wasn't a big fan of Chud, but I watched the review. And it seemed to me that the most offensive thing about this review, and I've seen this in more than one review, not just this is just a good example. They missed the point of the movie. And they edit their review in a way to skew their viewers' opinion of the movie. They edit their review in a way to skew their viewers' opinion of the movie. And they completely missed the point of the movie. For instance, all the humor was gone.
Mm-hmm. He didn't even mention any of it. And then he had the balls to complain. There aren't enough Chud attacks in it. That's like in the 80s going and renting a just an R-rated movie and going, there was only one shower scene in that movie. Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, Chud was made when...
84.
They did what they could with what they had. So, they were kind of following the Alien view of it. You don't see it.
Review was so pandering. When John Goodman's character popped up, he goes, and the character's played by John Goodman, Dan from Roseanne. Really? Thank you. I would have never known John Goodman was Dan from Roseanne if you hadn't condescended to me.
Can I make a recommendation?
To never watch a Mike Matai video ever, ever, ever again and Cinemassacre.com ever, ever, ever again because they fucking suck and they're total sellouts?
No. All right,
go ahead.
No. And this is one, and I know you're not a Kevin Smith fan, right?
Not anymore.
Not very much. Red State.
I still have to see that.
Trust me, I know you're not a Kevin Smith fan.
Everyone tells me it's good.
Really isn't a Kevin Smith movie.
Everybody's telling me it's
There's
really
like
good.
One Kevin Smith-ish line at the very end.
John Goodman reminded you of that, huh?
Yeah. And it just reminded me because John Goodman is one of those you rarely get to see him in a dramatic role in a role where his character truly is morally torn.
Oh, the fourth season of Damages, he was an evil motherfucker in that. He was the big bad villain of the fourth season of Damages, and he was sadistically evil in that.
Right. Well, in this one, he really is in a beautiful moral quandary. And it brought out a side of John Goodman. First off, he looked a whole lot more haggard than
Yeah, he than did that in Damages, John. Too. He's not aging the best.
Right, and it brought out a a side of him that I rarely get to see that I think we should see more directors, is this dramatic side of John Goodman. A lot of the other characters, I mean, the acting in this film is incredible.
Michael Parks as the psychopath?
No. Michael Parks as the psychopath is just straight up creepy, scary
Michael
man.
Parks is a damn good actor.
Yes, he is. The sheriff.
I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know.
I always want to say Rip Torn, but that ain't it.
If it's Rip Torn, you pretty much know who the, you can't really mistake him.
Hang on just a second.
Oh, come on. No. You have to look it up while I'm talking.
All right, you talk.
Anus. All right, I want to bitch a little bit about IFC. All right, IFC, just give up. Drop the name. Change your name to something else. Independent Film Channel. You are not anymore. Okay? You have more TV shows than you have movies on your schedule at this point. You have commercials in everything. You just made a deal with 20th Century Fox for movies. You know, 20th Century Fox, that huge bastion of independent film. Okay? You are not an independent film channel anymore. And don't... There's going to be some motherfucker that says... Oh, well, they changed their name. It's actually just IFC now. It doesn't stand for Independent Film Channel. No. Just change your name to something else. You don't even not even recognize the IFC I watched a few years ago and that I loved and fully endorsed. IFC, just give up. You're embarrassing everybody at this point.
Well, I feel that way about multiple channels. Steven Root, by the way.
I love Steven Root.
Yes.
Steven Root is awesome.
And his performance in Red State is incredible.
He's a great actor, so.
Yes, he is. But, I mean, this is exceptional, even for him. A&E, no longer arts and entertainment.
Haven't been for a long
time. TLC, the Learning Channel, really?
Discovery? Outside of MythBusters and Shark Week, what do they have that even remotely
now,
comes to science anymore?
Discovery Networks, they do have Through the Wormhole. They do have Universe. They've got Discovery.
No, History does the Universe.
Okay.
The Universe is on History because that makes sense. Because when I think of History, I think of astrophysics.
Well, actually.
That should be on Discovery, not History.
No, actually, Universe does fit History because anything we see, we're looking back in time. It has to do with the speed of light and how vast the distances are.
Don't get technical.
But anyway.
You know that fits more on a science channel than a History channel.
I agree. But you know, Discovery, I'll still let pass. They have a few shows that really stick with it. But yeah, History's another one. We want to talk about History, so here's Ice Road Truckers and Pawn Everything and Oddities and blah, 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 blah.
Well, you remember when True TV used to be Court TV?
Well, yeah, they actually went into courtrooms and did stuff.
And they had stuff, and, you know, it made sense. They had stuff like Forensic Files.
Yes.
Okay, they have, and they even had syndicate, you know, TV shows like Homicide and stuff like, and Law and Order and stuff. That fit because it's crimes and it deals with courts and stuff.
Sure.
Okay, I'm good with that. And then you just started doing shitty reality shows about a bunch of washed up kid pop stars that are laughing at internet videos.
Yeah.
That's not entertaining. Not entertaining.
It depends.
I can't watch any of those world's dumbest criminals and all this. It's like, go fuck yourself.
I watch those every once in a while, and what's really fun is during the comedian segments.
And we're mute. Putting the word comedian in quotes.
Mute because Tanya Harding is such a comedian.
The thing that bugged me when I tried to watch one of those is they always add their, in quotes, comedic sound effects over all the videos.
Yes.
Somebody falls down, they have this, sound effect and stuff. It's like,
yes. Oh,
shut the fuck up. Just, you know, you're just annoying the living shit out of me at this point.
Show that does that right, Tosh.0.
No, he doesn't. Tosh is not funny.
Yeah, he is.
I've watched, I don't know how many times I've seen clips of that on when I'm over here and your wife's watching it. And I just sit there going stone, looking at a stone face going, I think that was supposed to be a joke. It's not funny, but it was supposed to be a joke.
You have no sense of humor.
Yes, I do. But Tosh is not funny at all. He's Dean Cook level of not funny.
No.
He's Carlos Mencia level of not
no,
funny.
No, 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 no.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Dipshit.
Let me guess, you enjoy the performances of Jeff Dunham.
I don't know who that is.
The ventriloquist.
No. Is that the guy
the
with
dead
the
terrorist?
Yeah, no, I don't like him.
Good, okay. You've redeemed yourself a little bit.
I've seen a couple of his things on like Comedy Central, which is kind of an oxymoron right there. But
well, I mean, Comedy Central, they
well,
at least
I mean, you know,
play funny stuff.
Well, okay, let's use our last 10 minutes to bitch about a trend that Comedy Central and Adult Swim / Cartoon Network have embraced more than anything else, and that is the degradation of humor. We've already talked a little bit about how the whole it's so not funny that makes it funny.
Children's Hospital and
pretty much just any Adult Swim show. Tim and Eric and stuff like that. That
any of
the
live action stuff.
It's so not funny we're laughing at how not funny it is.
Right.
But then you've also just got the degradation of humor. It's just literally them coming out and making fart and poop jokes for 30 minutes and going, that's humor! No, it's not. What happened to jokes? Because, okay, the guys on Red Letter Media did put it perfectly. Despite the bitches I had about them, I still find them a very intelligent site, okay?
Okay.
They put it perfectly. There are two kinds of comedy. There are jokes, and there are situations. And Adult Swim says, we don't need either. We're just going to say random things, and that's funny. No, it's not. Adult Swim is everything that is wrong with humor today, in my mind.
See,
and Cartoon Network is trying so hard to be Adult Swim. With the exception of Futurama, all their, and maybe even South Park, which I still don't like, but I give them credit for this, all of Comedy Central's animated shows are that same kind of just, you know, random reference, that's funny. No, it's not.
Okay.
And it sickens me to think that that's what people find funny.
See, now
that people really find Assie McGee and the Squidbillies funny. It sickens me to think that there are people who buy these DVDs and go, ha, 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 that was funny.
See, now I've never liked Assie McGee because it was really a one-joke pony. It should have been one episode and done.
One that could have been funny that only did get one episode was, did you ever see Korgath of Barbaria?
Yes.
That was funny.
No.
I thought it was.
No.
And never made it past. Or the Elktingville Club. Did you ever see that pilot?
Nope.
That was funny. So, of course, nobody's interested in that. Squidbillies, they're on their, what, 7th, 8th season? Anyone who watches Squidbillies, you sicken me.
I like Squidbillies.
You sicken me, then.
I also like Robot Chicken.
Which I can't stand either.
Right.
Robot Chicken is, it's like the epic movie thing. Hey, look, we're making a reference to Lion-O. And Lion-O is working at an insurance company. We don't have to actually write jokes into this, because Lion-O working at an insurance company, that's humor! No, it's not!
I could see it.
You have to write jokes!
No, you don't.
Yes, you do.
No.
So adult...
At least Comedy Central still plays stand-up.
Which they censor.
And I like, well, not all the time. Saturday nights,
well,
they don't.
Well, I was going to say it depends on when it airs.
Yeah, it depends on when it airs. But I like stand-up comedy.
If it's done right.
Even bad stand-up comedy has a redeeming quality. Because I don't know.
Well, let's not go too deep into this because we're going to have a stand-up comic on the show and we're going to talk a whole show about stand-up comedy.
Okay, but have you ever been to a stand-up comedy show that really where he just bombed?
Not where they bombed because I've only gone stand-up comedy-wise, although this first one's going to be technical, Henry Rollins and George Carlin.
Okay.
So two professionals at the height of their careers
and,
is when
and
I saw
you
them.
And you went to arena stand-up comedy, too.
Yes.
And that was... And Henry Rollins is more of a storyteller than a stand-up comedy.
No, even he calls when he does that, it's basically a comedy act.
Yeah.
And even with his deliveries, he's a stand-up comic at
but,
that point.
But there was a comedy club in Evansville. That I used to frequent.
A little like 100-seater?
Cheap. Yeah, not even. Not even. It was like a 60.
Okay.
Yeah, like 60 or 70 people room.
Okay.
And I used to frequent it. It was cheap night out. Because I got free tickets all the time.
Fair enough.
And the deal was you go in with the free tickets and you order boatloads of food. Haha, I eat before I go. So I used to go to that quite a bit. The closest comedy club here is Appleton. It's a half hour away. It's kind of a pain in the butt.
There's a new one that just opened in here in Green Bay. I just drove past it the other day.
Stand-up comic or the improv group?
Stand-up comic. There's a new comedy club. It might not be open yet, but the signs are starting to go up.
Okay, I'll check it out.
I can't remember where I used to
frequent. It was a relatively cheap night. And yes, I loved the good acts. I loved the guys that killed. And I also loved the guys that absolutely bombed. There was one guy from New Jersey.
Like the guys who don't know that they're bombing?
No. The guys that don't know you just look at them and go, aw.
You start to feel bad a little bit?
Yeah, you start to feel bad a little bit, and then you realize that you paid to be there, and
they're paid to be there.
They're paid to be there, and they need to get off the stage because they suck. There was one guy from New Jersey that just did not get the Midwest sense of humor.
Oh, is this the big black guy you were talking about?
No. This was a little scrawny white guy from New Jersey, and he talked like this the whole time. The whole damn time he's talking this fast, all his deliveries just done like this, and he goes in, here's the joke, and here's the punchline.
Okay.
And that's the reaction he got.
The silence?
Dead silence. And the punchline, it was almost Andrew Dice Clay-ish. Jack and Jill went up the hill and fucked.
And that's the joke.
That's the joke. And
that is so 1991.
Yeah, well, this was early 2000s.
That's what I'm saying. But even then, that was a decade-dated style.
Even that was a decade-dated style. And he'd be, you know, and he just was terrible. And he got to the point to where he was looking for people to heckle him.
And just no one was playing along?
Okay, comedians, this is the Midwest that's not Chicago. We're too polite. You're probably not going to get hecklers. And if you do, it's one drunk guy that everybody hates and wants to leave the theater. Okay? So if you're a stand-up comic, come to our smaller towns in the Midwest, and we will embrace you and give you a chance. And if you bomb, it's because you're not funny.
The worst heckling you'll get is cricket. Cricket,
exactly. Cricket. And this guy was looking for somebody to heckle him, and he was just awful in his delivery. His jokes were not funny. And, there was one point when he made... Now, you know me. You know my sense of humor. I have no sacred cows. And to me, a good rape joke that makes you laugh is a good rape joke that makes you laugh.
As George Carlin says, you want to know how rape can be funny? Picture Porky Pig raping Elmer Fudd.
Exactly.
That's funny.
That's funny. This guy was picking out women in the audience and describing how he'd like to rape them and how they would enjoy it. And that was his sense of humor.
That's actually over the line, I think.
Yeah, it is.
Even by your standards?
Even by my standards. And to tell you the truth, he got about a quarter of the way through his act, and his opening act, which killed, came back out.
Dude,
just took the mic.
Is it like one of those old Looney Tunes cartoons with the big hook pulling Daffy Duck off stage?
Here's exactly what happened. His opening act came out, said a few jokes to the audience. Audience laughed. The club owner came out, took the mic away from the guy, and said, "Look, we'll pay you, but just go."
Oh, okay. I guess I technically have seen one other stand up again, kind of arena, Mystery Science Theater 3000.
That's not really.
They all did 5 minutes. Of stand-up comedy prior to the Mystery Science Theater show.
For opening, I can see where that is.
Each one of them did an actual stand-up right just in front of the mic and them telling jokes act. So I say the Mystery Science Theater, Cinematic Titanic guys, I saw them live too.
I do have a gripe from a listener that I was told to talk to you about eventually.
Go.
I got 1 minute. He called you a hypocrite.
I'm always a hypocrite.
Because Star Trek III didn't need to be made, but it was still a good movie. And he doesn't like the fact that there are good sequels out there that didn't need to be made when we talked about sequels and stuff. And he said that you liked a few of them. And yet you talk about sequels that didn't be made and you don't like any sequels that don't need to be made.
Heck yeah. I'm also a fan of all like the Children of the Corn movies. None of them needed to be made. That's you have true. To separate the me from the exploitation lover. You can't love exploitation and hate sequels. Doesn't mean the movie needed to be made. It also just means the movie was fucking entertaining for how bad and yeah, I'm a total fucking hypocrite.
Exactly. Thanks a lot for joining us, everybody. Lost in the Static Show at gmail.com, 1201beyond at gmail.com.
1201beyond.com.
And we'll talk to you later. Bye.